Good morning. How is everybody doing? So we continue on spiritual disciplines. Remember, there were 13 of them. We've gone through the inward ones that change us, our prayer life, study, meditation, devotion time. And we've moved into the outward ones. And what have we covered already in the outward? Solitude. Service. Okay, now we're moving on to the third one, submission. Now, submission's a tough one because we don't understand it for what it is. We tend to draw into the subject of obedience. So if I was to tell you we're talking about submission today, what were some thoughts that would come to your mind? What? Trust. Okay. Like issues with trust or trusting in God. Okay. Obeying God? These are all great Bible answers, but honestly, walking in today, if I say submission, what are the thoughts that come with it, people? Marriage. Marriage, okay. We'll pull from that too, but that gives us an operation to work within marriage, but what does it mean to submit? What are the tones that come with that word in our nowadays? Like if someone just said, you need to submit to this, what do you feel inside when you hear that?
To relinquish authority.
To relinquish authority. Pride issues. Scared. Why do we feel that way? Because the word submission or to submit to someone has changed so drastically because of our culture, because it's something that's used to overlord us, right? You're going to submit to the authority that's placed above you. In fact, if we look at the next slide, we see it. Authority, oppression, doing something because we have to do it. These are the thoughts that we carry in when we look at Ephesians 5 and what it means to submit in marriage. It's not the biblical look of what submission is, but that's what we carry into it. So when we read, or someone from outside the church reads, the wife is to submit to the husband, they understand it at the base of oppression, an authority placed above her. This is a dangerous place to be. It's not the biblical aspect. When we look inside the church even, we take that into the understanding. When we talk about Hebrews here, 13, 17 talks about how we are to submit above the authorities, about the elders that are with us and coming into them. So the problem is that culture has taken its definition and implanted it so strongly in how it acts day to day that it has shifted how we as Christians understand the word inside the Bible. So today we're going to talk about the discipline of submission and why we need to practice submission and what it means to practice submission. And to do that, we're going to go to Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. If you could please stand as we read. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for a third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a chance to be in your word today, this beautiful sunny day, one of the last warm days of the year. We know, living in Wisconsin, that we're going to be facing the winter here shortly. And so we just thank you for this beautiful day to relish in your creation, to spend in your moment, for the breath that you gave us this morning, for the ability to hear and understand your word as we go through today. Lord, there are so many things that we're thankful for. But today, Lord, we ask that you help open our hearts and our minds to understand the true meaning of submission as Jesus is going to teach us here today. It's with that heart that we can truly understand the greatness that you have created and that you are. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. So here we see Jesus, and he's at the garden on the night he's being betrayed. We all know the story. In fact, most of us have probably been told this story, and the other side or the highlight that's brought out is the fact that, you know, the disciples fell asleep. They weren't diligent. They couldn't pray. They led into temptation of sleeping. It's about human weakness. But the bigger, the grander story or understanding comes from the side of Jesus that we tend to overlook so quickly in this, because it's Jesus speaking and it's his actions and we're just remembering what he's doing. But he's teaching a very important point in these verses. And if we forget or we don't pay attention to that point, the point that he is living out in this moment, we don't take the more important story away from this. See, a heart of submission is what God calls us into. Submission isn't necessarily having authority placed over you. Submission is an internal thing that projects an outward action. So when I submit, it causes me to act in a certain way. But how I submit is very important, because God calls us to submit in a certain way. So a heart of submission, we read in verse 38 here that God's plan may cause emotional or physical discomfort. Jesus doesn't sound too happy at this particular moment, does he? My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Not to the point where his sorrow is going to cause him to die, but it's so intense it has physical interaction with his body. That's why he calls, remain here and watch with me. He's asking for their prayer to give him strength to go on and do what he needs to do. It's causing deep turmoil inside of him. He falls on his face. Can you imagine the Lord and our Savior falling on his face, praying with sorrow about what he knows must happen? See, here we get into these concepts of, well, did Jesus become weak at this moment? He's been saying what's going on all in the past. He knows what's happening. Why is he so sorrowful? He knows what good's going to come from it in the long run. But here's the problem with that is he is human just like we were, or we are. Nice little slip there, sorry. He understood at the base that sometimes God's will is painful and it causes an emotional turmoil within us. And so he had to live through that to prove a point that we'll talk about in a few minutes. He had to understand that sorrow, that pain that came with it to the point of physical discomfort internally, so that he understood and could show us the power that comes through at the end through submission. Verse 39, we see that it is not weakness to ask God to remove something hard to bear. Jesus says straight out, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So what he's asking is, God, my Father, I know this is going to be difficult. It's already tearing me up inside. Please let it pass. In you, all things are possible. Can you do something that makes this not have to be the reality? Do I have to bear this in order for your will to be? But at the end, he submits to God's will. So it's not a sign of weakness. It's simply asking for God to be greater than what we can see him to be. In all this, there's a beauty that comes into light at the very end of it. A third point that we come up with is we must come to terms with God's will. 42. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." He's coming into understanding that, listen, I can protest, I can ask all I can, but it's still your will that is going to happen in the end. He's coming to terms with it. So we see the progression. That first of all, when we're at the moment where God's will is causing us pain, is causing us suffering, we can feel that. It's okay to feel that. Even Jesus felt that. And too often we have shame in feeling that. We hold ourselves back. We don't want to go to God because we're too embarrassed to admit to him that his will or what we see his will doing for us is causing us that discomfort. We feel like we're not good enough Christians or we're not a good enough servant to the master because of the pain and emotional troubles we're feeling. But here's Jesus setting the example that he felt it. It's okay to feel that pain. It's okay to sit there and say, "I don't like what you're doing, Lord." It's what you do with that feeling and that admission after that becomes strong, that creates faith, endurance. And as Jesus moves forward, he shows it's not weakness. He's willing to do whatever God tells him he needs to do. He's not turning from what God's will is. He's simply asking God to change a situation. Does that not sound like our prayers on a regular basis? Lord God, I don't like this and how it's going. I don't like how I feel about the situation. Can you please change it? Can you change the heart of that person? Can you change the physical characteristics of whatever is going on in our lives? We do it all the time. Yet we don't feel shame in that. But when God's will comes to bear and it makes us feel discomfort and we want to sit there and complain or sit there and ask him to change that, now we start feeling shame. I guarantee you, Jesus didn't feel shame. He went before his Father with a sorrowful heart, asking the Father to remove that task from him, to let his will become something else. See, Jesus understood that the Lord was much greater, much larger than anything that we can see or feel here. And in that comes great power. Because when we release our minds and we submit to that will, a will that's beyond our ability to understand, then great things can come. When we accept it and we come to terms with it, we must finally come into a point where we accept God's will with a willful heart. See, this is the heart of submission that we don't tend to hear about. See, submission is done in two different ways. We can either willfully submit, or we can do it because we're being made to submit. This is what differs between cultural submission and biblical submission. See, in the Bible, Jesus doesn't do this because he has to. He does this because he understands what God's will is, and he submits willfully to God's will. See, we understand submission of a place of obedience and where authority over us says, "Do this," and we do it. And sometimes our heart isn't good and clean with it. Sometimes we sit there and our heart is all broken up with it. And we're like, "Oh, I'm doing this because I have to. I'm doing this because that person can make my life more miserable," or, "I'm doing this because if I don't, it'll get worse." But all that does is it breeds content inside of us. It changes how our heart is. It turns our heart into something where God doesn't want to dwell. See, when our heart is one of contempt and only because we have to do something, the Holy Spirit says, "This isn't my spirit in you. This is your fleshly spirit in you." And you wonder why we feel turmoil inside? It's because that, the gift that God has given us, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, is now in tension with the fleshly spirit or the flesh. And we wonder why we feel emotional or physical uncomfort. It's because we're creating in us this tension that is constantly fighting and gnashing against each other. But when we submit willfully, when we understand that we carry the spirit of what submission is with us. And that's what makes this so strong, is Jesus willfully comes into this moment of deep sorrow, falling to his knees to pray. But in every moment, asking that God's will be done and submitting willfully to what God's will is. How many of you noticed that this takes place in the garden? Anybody? Anybody even pull that out as we went? A few people? It takes place between what? The will of God and what the flesh wants. Does this not sound familiar? If we go back, Genesis 3, human in the garden, God's will being given, and what does the flesh do there? It fails. And it creates a huge chasm, a huge break between God and what he willed for humankind to be in his presence, in his garden, cared for eternity, into what we have now, a broken world with pain and suffering inside of it. Jesus is in the garden. God has given his will. Jesus has the choice. This is hard for people to wrap their head around. Jesus has the choice. He could have fled earlier than when Judas and the guards come to arrest him. He could have not gone to the garden and taken flight and made it a few more days, months, years, who knows? But Jesus knows what God's will is, and he comes here to ask for the strength to allow it. And instead of flesh's will of survival and prospering, God's will comes to light and salvation happens. There isn't a mistake of why this story takes place in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's because it's a direct correlation back to the Garden of Eden, where man and woman failed to follow God's obedient rule to not eat from one tree when there was plenty of other food. For humans want to seek something greater than what they were created to seek. Here, Jesus comes in, and he could have done so many other things. Remember, he's been said to be the commander of the angels. He could have called in all sorts of different powers to not have to face this moment. But he lets the flesh die and willfully submits with an open heart to what God's will in the situation is. And it brings about the beauty of the gift and mercy of salvation that we all get to experience. If Jesus doesn't choose to submit willfully with a clean heart before the Father, we don't get the cross. I'm going to let that sit for a second. See, when our heart willfully accepts what God's will is, then we have comfort. Let's put it up to work for those of you who have jobs, which a lot of us do. You can choose to be obedient and do what you're told because you have to, right? We do it every day in our job. What does that breed inside of us? My boss doesn't know what he's talking about. She's so mean, I don't know why she makes us do that paperwork. It breeds contempt, discomfort, hatred maybe. But when you come into work and people say, you need to do this, what if you just simply said, okay, I'll do that because you're asking me to do so. Did you not just willfully submit to the authority that's above you? Which is biblically told us as an action we should take? But how does your heart sit with that versus the other scenario. Children, teenagers, I'll be the first to admit parents don't always make the best decisions on what we do or what we say, okay? But if you choose to willfully accept, does that not show respect and love to your parents? Does it not create a place where your parents will maybe listen to you a little bit more the next time because you were willfully submitting to their authority before? It creates a place where when your heart is of one happiness and joy and love and compassion towards the other, and you willfully submit to an authority that's been given to that other person, not by them, but by God, then our heart's more at ease and we're happier and we can relax. It's funny, by simply changing how our heart sits in the situation. That we gain comfort versus when we want to push against it or fight against it. So Jesus comes into the garden and he does something that Adam and Eve could not do in the initial garden. And he brings about great mercy to all of humans. Not just to some, but to all. And gives us an opportunity to stand before our Lord and submit to what his will is for us. See, submission comes down the line. You notice this isn't the first one I gave for our disciplines, because this is a tough discipline. Because this is a discipline that makes you have to die and push yourself down, spend lots of time in study and prayer so you understand what God's will is for the situation, and then to actively seek that will. Because if you don't have all that laid out and don't understand God's will and have a heart to willfully accept his will, then you cannot submit to it the way that Jesus is giving us instruction and showing us by how he submitted is how we're to submit. So what does this mean as we leave here today? There's three things I want to pull out for you. Are you truly seeking God's will or simply your own will in a situation? This comes through prayer, meditation on the situation. The thing is we all have a will in everything we all have a want in everything we do, right? Anyone want to disagree with me on that? Everything that you go into every day, like if you go to work, if you're at school, you have something you want to see happen. You know, whether it's good grades, bigger paychecks, whatever, you have a want inside of that. Do we always get what we want? No, yes, no. So on the back side of this is, even though we may have a want, or we ourselves have a will of how we want the situation to go, we don't control the situation. That happens on many levels above and beyond us. So by making sure that we're seeking God's will, who he is going to control all things as he goes through, our will can come into alignment with his will. It's so much easier to submit to it. Secondly, do you feel shame in having a hard time accepting it? I think this is one of the biggest issues that you have to take a really good, solid look at yourself. That when you sit before someone, or you sit before a situation that God has willed in your life, do you feel shame that you can't accept it? Do you feel guilty that you want to have that argument with God? Jesus argued with God here. Pass this on. I don't want to do this. But yet he still submits. We can feel okay about having that discord with what God wills and when we don't want it. That's the flesh and the spirit fighting. Don't bog yourself down with shame, because what happens is when we feel shameful, do we tend to talk to God? No, we tend to go behind closed doors, behind curtains, and hide ourselves from him. We don't have open conversations with him at that point. Because why? Well, because I'm not worthy. I can't go before the Lord. I've got shame on my heart. But the only person who can save you from that shame is God. He's the only one that can lift it out of us. I think the hardest question that we need to ask ourselves, though, are we truly accepting it with a heart of submission? Are you simply dealing or doing it? I want you to think back. Some of you don't even have to go very far in this, but think back to a time when what's going on in your life really sucks. Flat out. There's no other word to use for it. It's just hard. It bogs you down. When you come before the Lord, do you pray, God, I don't know why you're doing this to me, but I'll deal with it, thanks. I was going to say, I've done it. I would expect everyone's been at that point. That's the fleshly expense. I'll get this done. Don't worry about it. I've got it taken care of. You've put me in the situation, I'll handle it. Or, Lord God, why? I understand that your will has placed me here. And I accept that I'm here. What are you trying to do inside me? What are you trying to change in my heart, in my mind, in the situation that I live within? Lord God, I seek your wisdom in this. I don't know why. I feel the pain every day that you placed me in. And thank you for that. How many people can thank God for the pain in their lives? Verse 46, Jesus says, "Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." He didn't turn and run, but he willfully stood up and walked into the situation that God was placing before him. See, that's the difference between a willful heart of submission and doing something simply because you have to. Jesus instigates it. He's the one who says, "Let us rise, let us go, here they come." He doesn't sit there and say, "Oh, here they come, we'll stay here and let them get here." But he willfully walks to what God's will and destination or destiny is for him. That's a willful heart. When you start living life that way, when you start praying in that manner, when you start accepting what God's will is, willfully, seeking his will, that is when you can have comfort inside, because you know that when he is directing it, when his hand is controlling it, then whatever comes is for good. Doesn't mean the journey is not painful. It doesn't mean that we won't question it. It doesn't mean that we won't even fall to our knees with a sorrowful heart at some points of that journey. But when we submit to what God's will is and stop seeking our will, then we can have comfort and we can stand up and go meet that challenge that is before us. We can go head on and take it on, knowing that God will pull us through as Jesus stands and says, "Let us go." We can say an awful lot about a lot of sections in here. Yes, we need to be diligent. We need to protect ourselves from temptation. Jesus even allows them to continue sleeping because he understands that the journey ahead of them is going to be difficult. Not as difficult as what his journey is going to, but that they're going to have to fall on their own crosses as time comes. So there's mercy in him allowing them to sleep and not constantly re-battering them. We can talk about free will versus predestination in this section. We can talk about salvation, glorification, justification, sanctification. We can talk about so many different things in here, but the lesson that we see that Jesus teaches us directly through his words and his actions are one of submission to God's will. And if we ignore that, if we get wrapped up in all the other things that we could be talking about, we miss what the teacher, what our Lord and Savior is pointing out to us in this moment. And so we need to focus and ensure that our heart is a heart of willful submission to God's will, and that we show that every day as he did. Because not everybody in this situation believed that Jesus was who he was. At the end of it, Judas and the guards are coming to arrest him. Not all of them believed that this was the Lord. But they saw the strength that came from submission to to God. And they saw the willfulness in Jesus to meet that challenge. And as we read later on, for anybody that wants to do some study during this week, we see how that did change lives. To where even the soldiers at the foot of the cross saw that Jesus was the Lord and Savior. See, that's why this is an outward. When we submit willfully and we do it with joy in our hearts, then we show God's strength. We show what being a person of faith looks like and how it's so much different than people who don't have faith and have nothing to live for, where their hope is gone. But it takes time to get there. I guarantee you, when you first start doing this, it's going to be difficult. You are going to feel at odds with it because there are going to be those moments when you fall before the Lord and ask Him to take away what He's given you. And too often we're told that's not good. You can't do that. You just need to accept it. But you need to make sure you understand His will fully so you can willfully submit to it. Because without that willfulness behind it, without that heart of acceptance of it, you're not truly submitting as Christ is calling us to submit. We're simply doing it because we have to do it. And we turn it to an us thing versus a kingdom thing. And anytime that we turn it to us, we have problems. So as you leave today, study that last question. Are you truly accepting it with a heart of submission, or are you simply just doing it? Not cultural submission, but biblical submission. When you're at work and you're asked to do something, ask that in your head. Can I put a place in my heart where I can willfully submit to this? And see how that changes how you feel about submitting suddenly. Because when we willfully submit, we're okay with the situation because we've come to terms with it. We've accepted the terms already. It's not weakness, but inside of it is great strength, because then we have that moment with the Spirit as it changes our heart and we encounter the living God. So those are the challenges this week. Making sure that you're seeking God's will, not your own. Try not to feel shame when you come into terms where you don't like what God's doing, because all that does is it stops us from having a conversation. God wants that conversation. Don't let the shame that we feel about not being good enough separate us from that relationship that we're called to have. And finally, are you truly willfully submitting, or are you doing it just because you have to do it? If you can answer those three questions as you go through this week on situations, you will see a change. You'll start growing and understanding what it means for Christ to go to the cross willfully. And how this moment right here is the moment that overcomes the Garden of Eden's fall. Because the flesh submitted to God's will in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you create in us a heart that is willfully submissive to what you call us to do, to your will, Lord. It's difficult when culture is telling us one thing and you're telling us another, that we have a hard time sometimes fretting out and feeling okay with taking a tough stance on a position that may be controversial. But Lord, we come before you, we fall to our knees before you and give you our sorrowful heart, that you may shape it and change it into a willful heart, one that seeks you and your will. And as Christ as our example, Lord, no matter what the challenge is, we ask that you give us the strength to rise up and willfully meet it, to overcome it so that your will and your good can come from it. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.